Hello, and welcome to your audio insight on how to be more charismatic. In the next few minutes, we'll uncover for you precisely what charisma is and show you how you can develop your own skills of influence. This audio insight comes from the free Inspired Minds newsletter at hypnosisdownloads.com. My name's Roger Elliott. I'm Managing Director of Uncommon Knowledge, and today I'm going to talk about influencing other people using the power of your personality. It's clear that some people are more naturally persuasive than others. We sometimes call this charisma. These charismatics are better able to persuade and convince other people and to have their suggestions accepted. It's the charismatic people who determine the mood of the social encounter. When we study hypnosis, we're really studying persuasion. When you know how to be truly charismatic in your communication, and I'll explain exactly what I mean by charisma in a moment, you can even persuade someone's unconscious mind to slow down bleeding, heal more rapidly, or even remove warts, simply through the effectiveness of your communication. So a good hypnotist will know how to use charismatic communication as part of what they do. And conversely, a naturally charismatic person will also be naturally more hypnotic, whether they themselves know that or not. What exactly do we mean by charisma? Well, when we have, say, two people sitting down together, we have an exchange of emotion or mood. Some people are naturally better at passing on their emotional state, their mood, to others. These people are more emotionally infectious, meaning they're more expressive with their voice, with their facial expressions, and their bodily gestures. It's been shown that highly charismatic people actually use more muscles in their face. So this emotional infectiousness is really what charisma is. A charismatic hypnotherapist will knowingly lead someone else's mood towards therapeutic benefit. If you think about it, you'll realise that some people are seductive. And I don't mean sexually seductive, although that is a form of charismatic mood leading. I mean they seduce you with their ideas and lead the emotional temperature of any encounter. They seduce you into their worldview. After you've been in their presence, you actually feel different. Great salespeople, actors and musicians, and religious and political leaders know how to do this. They naturally know how to lead your mood. In one astonishing piece of research, a psychologist called Howard Friedman devised a test to gauge charisma levels. Questions included how loud you tend to laugh, whether you confidently flirt, whether you find it hard not to tap your toes to the sound of good music, and so forth. The very top scorers gained 117 points, with the average score being around 71 points. Friedman then conducted a fascinating experiment. He picked a few dozen people who had scored very high on the test, above 90 points, and a few dozen who had scored very low, below 60 points, and then got them all to fill out a questionnaire measuring how they felt at that instant. He then put all the high scorers in separate rooms and paired each of them with low scorers. This is what happened. They were to sit in the room together for 2 minutes. The high charismatic and the low charismatic could look at each other but not talk. Then, when the two-minute session was over, they were both asked again to fill out a detailed questionnaire as to how they were feeling. Incredibly, what the researchers found was that after just 2 minutes without speaking, the low charismatic always picked up the mood of the high charismatic. So if the highly emotionally infectious person felt depressed at the start of the 2 minutes, and the low charisma person felt happy, by the end of those 120 seconds, the low charismatic would feel depressed as well. If the highly charismatic person started off feeling happy, and the low person was depressed, then again they'd be infected by the high charismatic's happy mood. And remember, no talking was allowed. So the highly expressive, naturally charismatic people always led the mood and passed on mood to the low charismatic, but it never, I repeat, never worked the other way. that non-expressive, low-charismatic people never led the mood during those 2 minutes. Only the high charismatics or emotional infectors could do this. Imagine the influence we can achieve just by learning to be more charismatic. So how do these high charismatics hypnotize the low charismatics in just 2 minutes without talking and so manage to change the mood of the other individual just by being in the same room? When human communication has been filmed and then studied frame by frame, it's found there is an incredible harmony or subconscious dance. I smile, a split second later you smile. This can be so quick that it appears we smile at the same time, and it's entirely unconscious. I emphasize something with a hand gesture. You make a minimal movement with another hand almost simultaneously. And this is called being in rapport. When therapists or salespeople learn about rapport, they generally focus on three things. They learn about mirroring, matching, and leading. So to mirror someone, you basically copy what they do. They cross their leg, you cross yours. This can seem too obvious, so you might match instead of mirroring. For example, if they tap their foot, you might tap your finger. This is still an echo of their behaviour, and when people are like us, we feel in rapport with them. Once rapport is established, we can lead the person. Now it's assumed they will unconsciously follow us. We relax back in the chair, and if rapport is there, a split second later, they stretch back as well. We're now leading their behaviour. But Friedman's research questions this, or at least gives it a new spin. It shows that some people are naturally transmitters of emotion, and some people are receivers, and this is regardless of whether rapport has been established. Remember, these two people together in the room didn't know each other, and they didn't speak. Perhaps what is happening is that naturally charismatic people establish rapport unconsciously. Maybe they can't help doing it. This then enables them to lead, thereby establishing the charismatic advantage. Other ways to match and then lead are speaking at the same time, using similar words, and feeding back what your conversational partner says, so they feel listened to, before offering a suggestion and leading them. But if I smile in response to your smile, it's not just that we've rapport together, it's also that you've infected me with your contagious emotion. And as you now know, charismatic people are emotionally contagious. I might consciously think I'm happy or amused, and that's why I've smiled, but it's equally true to say that happiness, fear, anger and depression can leap from one person to another, like an infectious virus. And some people are very emotionally infectious. This is really what we mean by charismatic. If you can control this process, then you can determine how you're going to influence and lead someone else's mood. When we teach people how to hypnotize, we're really teaching them how to be more influential. This means teaching them how to better transmit mood, ideas, and beliefs to others. So in effect, we're teaching them to be more charismatic. A charismatic person knows how to appeal to your unconscious mind as well as to your conscious mind. The way we do this in hypnosis is using what we call splitting. When you communicate with another person, you communicate to their conscious mind, but also to their unconscious mind. And what's more, you know which part you're communicating with at any given point. If you make someone laugh when you speak to them, then your communication has appealed to their unconscious mind, which produces the laugh. The more aware you are of which bit of a person you're attempting to influence, the better able you are to influence. For example, if I say to you, lift your arm up, I'm speaking to your conscious mind. If, however, I say, now in a moment you might just like to notice that arm becoming a little lighter, then I'm asking your unconscious mind to do something. I'm splitting your awareness because I'm suggesting your conscious mind notice something your unconscious mind is doing. Now I'm going to speak for a little while and use my voice and language to sometimes appeal to your conscious mind and sometimes to your unconscious mind. Think about when I'm directing attention to which part of your mind and also how you can make your communication more influential or charismatic in future by splitting people when you communicate. This is a hypnotic session, so if you're driving or in any other situation where you need to maintain concentration, stop the audio now. Okay. You know your conscious mind can do many things. but many other things are taken care of by our unconscious mind. For example, you don't know how to grow fingernails consciously, but your unconscious mind can do these things, and your unconscious mind knows how it feels to be about to bite into an apple, what it feels like to look at an apple and feel that apple in your hand and be about to crunch into it, because you can imagine that now. And sometimes your mind lets you salivate just at the thought of that. And you don't consciously dream, but your unconscious mind knows exactly how to creatively put together a dream for you as you sleep deeply at night. And the unconscious part is the part I'm talking to right now when I talk about the sights and sounds and sensations you have when you dream deeply, what it's like to see the sea, what spray looks like in your mind's eye, what it sounds like when it crashes off seafront rocks. Your conscious mind doesn't monitor the sensations of every part of your body, of your little toe, for example. But your unconscious mind is always monitoring sensations beyond conscious awareness and can give you a sense of your little toe right now, and perhaps a little warmth in that toe. And it's your unconscious mind that lets you really begin to relax deeply. Because when that part of your mind, which is beyond logic and thought, knows how to relax those muscles in those legs and arms, can relax too. Sometimes the tops of the arms first, or sometimes up from the fingertips. Comfort and rest spreading up the wrists and forearms and biceps and triceps. And your conscious mind knows about different types of weather, but it's your unconscious mind right now that can re-evoke the sensation of a warm breeze on your face, the memory of what that feels like. Because consciously you know about that moment before you drift off to sleep, but it's your unconscious mind that gives you those really sleepy feelings of beautiful relaxation just before you fall asleep. A child can scribble and draw with no thought to the finished image, totally absorbed and focused and at one with the paper and the crayon, forgetting to think about outside surroundings, past and future disappearing as they merge with the lines and squiggles. And that initial universal impulse to create, discovering musical notes as if the universe holds music and art and science deep within itself, like blackberry seeds that grow and flourish through time until at last the right person at the right time can discover them and pluck them. And the artist at the easel or keyboard plucks images and ideas from that part of themselves, that part of the universe, which creates. Okay, so I was speaking to the part of your mind that's logical some of the time, your conscious mind. but also I was evoking actual experience, which is always an appeal to your unconscious mind. If you ever cringe because I've told you about something painful, or laugh because I've told you something funny, then my communication has been more influential, because these responses are emotional rather than just logical, and are generated by your unconscious mind. If you experienced any images at all just now, however fleeting, or any other physical sensations, however slight, from my words, then some of my communication worked on your unconscious mind. If we were face to face, then my eyes, facial expressions, and body language would all be able to communicate to your unconscious mind. As it was, I just had to use tone of voice and language to appeal to your unconscious. I'd really like you, as a result of listening to this audio insight, to think about how you communicate and be mindful of when your communication is meant to appeal consciously or unconsciously to another person. When we seek to hypnotize someone to remove a phobia or to enable them to quit drinking too much alcohol, we have to be as influential as possible. We have to lead their focus of attention and emotional state. By learning the skills of hypnosis, such as those in the free hypnosis course on hypnosisdownloads.com, working on the way you communicate and honing your expressiveness, both verbal and nonverbal, you can become a transmitter and leader of emotion, or in other words, you can become more charismatic. And if you'd like to learn hypnosis live from Uncommon Knowledge, go to www.unk.com and navigate to the training section. And if you want to hear other audio insights, they're all archived within the Growth Zone, the hypnosisdownloads.com members section. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. Thanks for listening, and please feel free to feedback on this audio insight at the Hypnosis Downloads blog. Just enter blog into the search box on the homepage.